is Matt Connickson. I'm a sales agronomist with CHX Ag Services in Oakley, Minnesota. We're pleased to bring you this update from the Red River Farm Network. CHS Ag Services, providing solutions for your success.
Good morning, Farm News on the Red River Farm Network. I'm Don Wick with Jamie Dickerman. Senate Majority Leader John Thune says the Senate could vote today on a new proposal to end the government shutdown. The plan would combine a short-term spending measure with full-year funding bills for agriculture, Veterans Affairs, and the legislative branch. Democrats say they want Affordable Care Act subsidies included in any deal. The shutdown has halted pay for government workers and cut food aid for low-income families. Thune acknowledged negotiations remain difficult, saying Democrats appear to be walking back or slow-walking this.
While the Supreme Court reviews the president's emergency authority to impose tariffs, President Donald Trump continues to defend the strategy. If the administration's policy is rejected by the court, the U.S. would need to return trillions of dollars to foreign competitors.
But they were doing it to us until I came along. Now they don't do it to us. We do it to them a little bit. But if they took this away, we would be defenseless against tariffs from other countries.
Ag Resource Company President Dan Bossi says market uncertainty is tied to questions surrounding the future of Trump-era tariffs. Bossi says traders are watching predictive market signals that show only about a 1 in 4 chance that the tariff structures remain in place.
It really would. I mean, all of these agreements and all the pledges and promises that were there are now going to be thrown up into the air. You know, the big hammer that the president had was, of course, always raising tariffs on someone who did not perform. So many of these agreements are not even written down or codified, if you will. And with that in mind, this is where the concern comes longer term. If you look at other tariff levers that he could use, like Section 301 or 201, or even some of the others, they all take an investigation period that may be anywhere between, 4 to 9 months. That means that the Trump tariffs would be kicked well down the road and would be very hard to install without further investigation according to U.S. law.
Interior Department has added potash and phosphate to its updated list of critical minerals. The list includes items that are needed for economic and national security. The push has been on to add these fertilizer components to the list to prevent future supply chain disruptions. Ag Retailers Association President and CEO Darren Kopek says this is a major step forward for American agriculture and supply chain resilience. National Association of Wheat Growers CEO Sam Kiefer says this designation reduces our reliance on foreign sources and supports long-term sustainability of U.S. agriculture.
Grain movement patterns are shifting as farmers respond to river shipping challenges and changing market demand. CoBank lead economist Tanner Emke says some producers are rethinking what goes to town and what goes to the bin.
A dynamic here that's created some interesting situations where some farmers who would typically haul their soybeans straight out of the field to the grain elevator where they're delivered directly to the export market and then they store the corn on farm. We have a reversal of this dynamic where you're going to be shipping corn perhaps and storing the soybeans. And so that creates a situation where farmers are going to have to learn some different marketing skills, if you will.
Emke says low water levels on the Mississippi River are also shifting how crops move to export channels.
On the whole here, this is an uncertain environment, and what that means, and we're going to have bigger carries in the futures market. So if you know how to do a storage hedge, there are some opportunities for farmers to take advantage of those bigger carries in the futures market. And at the same time, basis levels are very weak across the plains and Midwest for corn, soybeans, and wheat.
Emke says farmers with access to strong local demand, such as crush facilities, feed users, or ethanol plants, may be better positioned to secure firmer basis opportunities later in the marketing year.
A surge of colder Canadian air has moved in behind a clipper system, which will be dropping temperatures throughout the day today. Morning readings may be slightly warmer than the afternoon, as highs fall or hold steady under cloudy skies today. By tonight, temperatures dip into the 20s in the north, low 30s in the south. The second clipper arrives late tonight into tomorrow, bringing light snow mainly from north-central North Dakota into the Devil's Lake Basin and James River Valley. Accumulations will be minor, generally a trace to maybe an inch. The weekend stays cold and breezy with lows in the teens, highs struggling to reach the low 30s, and temperatures will remain below normal into early next week before A gradual warm-up comes, bringing highs back into the 40s by midweek.
The Board of Directors for the National Association of Wheat Growers and U.S. Wheat Associates met this week in Austin, Texas. In addition to a joint policy sessions, the groups got an update on global wheat markets. This is the Red River Farm Network.
Farm news on the Red River Farm Network. Harvest progress continues in central North Dakota, where farmers are pushing to finish corn before the colder weather sets in. Washburn area farmer Clark Price says most fields are moving along, but the season's early frost left a noticeable mark.
Well, most everything's coming off pretty fast. The corn is fast and furious. Some guys are done, but there's still a fair amount out there, but guys have been working at it pretty steady. So I would say, you know, there's 25% of the corn left probably is all that's out there. But yeah, it's all over the board. I mean, there's been some good corn and there's been some not so good corn.
Price says the yields varying widely due to that early September frost, which trimmed production in some areas while leaving other fields largely unaffected.
Harvest progress in the Devil's Lake region continues to be slowed by extremely wet field conditions. Rock and Roll Agronomy owner Jason Hansen says much of the corn is still standing, though early yield reports show some strong performance, depending on maturity and the timing of the frost.
The range I've heard is from 140 to 185. Just depending on the variety is what I've heard. And so that for us, if you're at, we kind of try to shoot for 140, 150. That's if we can get that, we're fairly happy. Anything above that is a huge win. So, you know, maturity wise, I think there's some 83 day corn in. That's about as late as we go. Then it goes up to 78. So I assume as you move south, you're going to have some pretty good yields. I know there was some really awesome yields out by Washburn on the corn that they were taking off. It all depended on how bad the frost got you.
2025, a mixed year for U.S. Durum growers. U.S. Durum Growers Association President Steve Perdue talks about the growing year in review.
We had a lot of different weather events that impacted us. Went from our area, western North Dakota, went from being very dry to being quite wet to back to being very dry, and then we ended up with a fall season quite wet again. So it challenged producers, I would say, from start to finish. In regards to Durum, harvest is complete for the most part. I guess there is a small percentage of Durum still in the field, but I would say you know, we're well into the 90 percentile as far as being harvested.
Wide production margins have dominated discussions at the forum.
Prices, not only prices of the Durum being too low, but input costs being too high. And in regards to, like, fertilizer, very concerned. Those prices are just, much higher than what we're used to, and then you couple that with low commodity prices for the Durum, and it's creating a very on the edge type of problem that profitability is very much in question.
During an Oval Office briefing with reporters, President Trump railed against the Democrats' current focus on affordability. Trump said food and energy prices have come down under his leadership. However, consumer beef prices remain in the crosshairs.
We have much lower prices than they do. And we only have one thing, beef, because the cattle ranches are doing well. We're going to bring the beef prices down, and they understand that, even if we have to help them out.
On October 16th, Trump made his first social media post about the price of beef, saying it was too high. Imports from Argentina were eventually cited as a way to lower consumer beef prices. The cattle market has seen extreme volatility and sharp declines since mid-October. Feeder cattle futures have dropped more than $55 per hundredweight since that time.
Global food prices declining in October, according to the United Nations Food and Agriculture Organization. The food price index, averaging 126.4 points, that's down from 128.5 in September. Prices for meat, dairy, and sugar falling, with sugar dropping to its lowest level since December of 2020. Meat prices easing due to larger global supplies, while dairy prices continue a months-long slide on strong export availability. Cereal prices also moving lower. Global production expected to rise by 4.4% this year. The one category that increased was vegetable oil, up 0.9% due to biofuel demand and harvest delays in the Black Sea region. the index remaining more than 20% below its peak in early 2022.
A federal judge has ordered the Trump administration to fully fund November SNAP benefits by today, saying the government has not acted quickly enough during the shutdown. The administration had planned to use contingency funds to cover only part of the month's payments, which could have delayed aid for weeks while states recalculated the benefits. Reporting Agriculture's Business, this is the Red River Farm Network.
Welcome to Inside Agriculture here on the Red River Farm Network. SNAP participants will receive about 65% of their typical monthly benefits this month, rather than the previously announced 50%. USDA says the adjustment is tied to the ongoing government shutdown and the need to draw from a SNAP emergency fund to meet a court order. The change only applies to this month's payments and is not permanent. Full benefits are expected to resume once the shutdown ends. USDA initially estimated deeper cuts would be needed, but a revised analysis showed a smaller reduction would still keep the program funded under current constraints.
North Dakota Representative Julie Fedorchak joined Minnesota Congressman Tom Emmer in a news briefing yesterday. Farm Bill 2.0 still needs to be finalized. Fedorchak has been discussing that issue with House Ag Committee Chair Glenn G.T. Thompson.
A large percentage, probably two-thirds of the key elements of the Farm Bill were passed in the Working Families Tax Cut Plan, formerly called the One Big Beautiful Bill. So we did a lot of really great and important work in that bill for farmers that create certainty for them going to the next growing season, including increasing the crop insurance and reference prices, providing additional export assistance, so some key elements. But there is the conservation title still out there, and definitely working with G.T. Thompson and other ag leaders to talk about what that looks like and how we can make that really perform for our producers.
Latest U.S. drought monitor showing small improvement from the previous week. Minnesota has the most significant issues in our tri-state region, with more than 60% of the state dealing with abnormally dry or moderate drought conditions. South Dakota has dry conditions across the south and extending into far eastern portions of the state. North Dakota considered drought-free with just a couple areas of abnormally dry conditions. That includes a small portion of the central Red River Valley and a sliver along the Montana border in northwest North Dakota.
Checking markets, we have some green for Minneapolis wheat. We're a penny higher for the December contract, 558 is the quote. Chicago going the other way, down 3 cents, 532.5. December hard red winter wheat down 1.5. Dease corn a half penny lower, 428.25. March a quarter cent down. Soybeans stronger. January 6.75 cents higher at 1114.25. March 1122.5. It is a nickel higher. Checking in on the farm calendar, the North Dakota FFA Foundation has its Blue and Gold Gala fundraiser going on tomorrow night. Activities begin at 5:30 there at the Holiday Inn in Fargo. The SBAR, Minnesota State Board of Agricultural Research and Education, is seeking public input on ag research and extension needs in the state. They have a session that is coming up on the 13th Thursday of next week. That'll be held in Minot. And in Minnesota, the Irrigator Program, their annual session, November 18th and 19th, will be held in Becker, Minnesota. Have yourself a great day and a great weekend. This is the Red River Farm Network.